Brother Sean.
No, Brother Mark is in the audience, armed and ready. Good morning. I thank all of you for coming out, and I too welcome you here in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Today, I'm going to be talking to us about the choices that we make, the decisions that we make in our life that affect us in all things, not just in our worship of God, but in all the things that we do, how we go about our daily business, how we treat each other, how we run our families, the choices. To make a choice or to choose something is to make known to the rest of the world your decision, either by your action or by your words. So in all things that we do, we choose. And we make it known unto each other through our actions, how we treat each other, how we look at life, or through our words. The things that the world tells us that we need to choose is happiness. They say that we should be happy and that we should do whatever is necessary to make ourselves happy as long as it doesn't infringe upon the rights of someone else. Well, if you look in the scriptures, you'll find a couple of references to the word happiness. There's not very many, maybe 10. If you look up the word joy, you'll find about a page and a half of references to the word joy. And then there's also joyous, joyful. There is a lot more references. And the word joy means something different than happiness. Joy is to have exceeding gladness, to rejoice, a feeling of blissfulness. It's different than just being happy. In the scriptures, the word happy or happiness means to feel blessed. It's not exactly the same. Happiness or I feel blessed, or I want to rejoice. I feel gladness in me. I want to sing praises to God. That's joy. There's a difference between happiness and joy. And the things that we do affect how much joy we have. We make many choices in our lives. As we're children, we choose to obey our parents or not to obey our parents, and we get the reward of doing either one. Sometimes it's punishment, and sometimes it's something nice. When we get older and we go into school, we make choices as to how good of a student we're going to be or how diligent we are in our homework. After we get out of school, we make choices as to what kind of job we want to work at. And we make choices as to how we're going to do that job. And then eventually we make choices on whether or not we want to find a mate. That's a very important choice to make. I believe all of you probably know my thoughts on making that choice. I think that you should, first of all, pray and ask God to lead you to your mate. He has one picked out for you that will help you to receive joy in your life, true gladness, and you'll be able to rejoice with your mate. You also have choices to make as to whether you're going to serve God or not, and whether you're going to do it in a way that will bring him joy. So these are the choices that we make through our life. And we have, in this country, a great freedom or liberty to be able to choose how we're going to do these things. And yes, I am dressed in my patriotic clothes today. I put on a navy blue suit and a red tie and a white shirt just for this occasion. So I'm going to start in the second book of Nephi, the first chapter, at the 115th verse. And it talks about a man who made a choice. It says, Adam. Adam fell. He made a choice. And the choice that he made caused him to fall. It says, Adam fell that men might be, and men are that they might have joy. Eternal joy, blissfulness, a cause to rejoice, that type of joy. That's why God created us, so that we would have the chance to choose that joy. And the Messiah cometh in the fullness of time, that he might redeem the children of men from the fall. And because that they are redeemed from the fall, they have become free forever, knowing good from evil. It is a freedom that he has given to every single human being, knowing good from evil. We all know what is right, and we all have the right to choose whether to do good or to do evil, to act for themselves and not to be acted upon, save it be by the punishment of the Lord at the great and last day, according to the commandments which God hath given. And yes, we can do what we please. We can commit whatever act we want. But for every action that we do, every thought that we have, every word that we speak, there will be a reward or a punishment. And we have the right to choose which one we want. If we choose the joy, we'll receive it. It's a promise, guaranteed, made to us by God. If we choose misery and unending torment, that's a choice. And we will receive it, and it's guaranteed by God. Wherefore men are free according to the flesh, and all things are given them which are expedient unto man. And they are free to choose liberty and eternal life through the great mediator of all men, or to choose captivity and death according to the captivity and power of the devil. For he, that's the devil, seeketh that all men might be miserable like unto himself. That's his desire. He wants us to be miserable. He does not want us to have this joy. And now, my sons, or my family, I would that ye should look to the great mediator and hearken unto his great commandments and be faithful unto his words and choose eternal life according to the will of his Holy Spirit. Choose joy. Eternal joy. In the fifth chapter of Helaman, I'm going to read verse 85 and 86. This is the fifth chapter of Helaman. It says, And now remember, my brethren, that whosoever perisheth, perisheth unto himself. It's our faults. We have no one else to blame. And whosoever doeth iniquity, do it unto himself. For behold, ye are free, ye are permitted to act for yourselves. For behold, God hath given unto you a knowledge, and he hath made you free. He hath given unto you that ye might know good from evil, and he hath given unto you that ye might choose life or death. And ye can do good and be restored unto that which is good, or have that which is good restored unto you, or ye can do evil and have that which is restored, which is evil restored unto you. Do you remember the story of Adam and Eve, the first man that fell? Do you remember after they committed the sin and God came to them and wanted to know what it was they had done? Do you remember their responses? Eve's response, since God talked to her first, and I think it was because she committed the sin first, was, "It's not my fault. It was the serpent. He made me do it." Adam's response was, "It's not my fault. Basically, it's your fault, God, because that woman that you made me, she made me do it." That's the way, usually, there's a type of response that we get from our children. "Why did you do that?" "Well, because she hit me," or "because he pulled my hair." You know, there's thousands of reasons as to why we commit these sins, and it's never really our fault. Well, it's not true. It's always our fault. Because even if someone does something mean or malicious to you, you do not have to respond to them in like manner. You choose to do it, or you choose not to do it. These are the choices that we make every day. And we have to decide. When you wake up in the morning, you need to decide. What are you going to do today? How are you going to act? Are you going to choose the things that are right? Or today, are you going to choose the things that are evil? That's the choice that you make. And you need to remind yourself of that every morning when you wake up. That's one of the reasons why God has commanded us to pray when we first open our eyes in the morning. Pray. Whether you kneel down beside your bed, or you kneel down in your bed, or you just open your eyes and realize you're awake and you close them again and say a prayer before you even lift up your head off the pillow. We need to pray in the morning and ask God to lead us and guide us and help us to make the right decisions in our life. That's the first step that should be done in the morning before anything else. And then when it's breakfast time, pray and ask for help again. Because as I've gotten older, and even though my mom thinks I'm younger than I am 53 now, I have noticed that every day of my life, without fail, Satan tries to tempt me to commit sin. And if you're not constantly vigilant about it, he does it about every 15 minutes. You gotta, I'm not gonna get angry. I'm not gonna get mad. I'm not gonna sin. I'm not going to lie, cheat, steal, lust, whatever. You have to constantly remind yourself. You have to be thinking. Our brother Donnie, in the last sermon that he preached, told us that Gideon chose 300 men. And those 300 men were chosen because they were ever vigilant. They were always looking around, watching out for the enemy. That's why they were chosen. Those 300 men that lifted the water to their mouths instead of kneeling down and lapping it up like a dog. Those men were watching for the enemy. And so we have to be vigilant in all things, all day long. And it's because we are at war. Satan wants to take away our liberties. He wants to bind us up and have us only do that which is evil. So it's choices, choices that we make. For me, one of the choices that I made most of my life, and I didn't even realize that I shouldn't be doing it, was I had a bad habit. I like to eat. I just like food. And so as a young boy, I would get to the dinner table at my parents' house and I would eat. And my sisters would not eat as much as me, and they were the ones that were always clearing off the table, so they would get done before me and they would take all the food away. And I'd finish my plate and I'd want some more spaghetti and it'd be gone. And so if I wanted to eat some more, I had to go to the kitchen and fix myself another plate. Well, sometimes I would eat so much spaghetti that I would just be miserable. And I taught myself that when I had the opportunity, I would eat. And you can ask my wife and my in-laws that are here. The first time that I went to their parents' house on a Sunday afternoon, they have a tradition at their house. After they would have meeting, then you would have dinner. And dinner consisted of homemade hamburgers, hot dogs, all eaten on my mother-in-law's homemade buns. And my father-in-law at that time told me, he says, this is the way you do it. He says, you take your cheeseburger, put it on the bun, you take a hot dog, slice it down the middle, open it up, put it on top of that cheeseburger patty, and then put your tomatoes and onions and pickles and all that stuff on it, and put it on, you know, put the top on the bun, and that was how you ate a cheeseburger. And I was like, wow, I've never seen that before. And so I tried it. It was fantastic. Now, I was 14 years old, and you know most teenage boys can eat. Well, I had never eaten until I was so full I could hardly stand it before like that, but that day I ate 7 of those. Yeah. And my brother-in-laws will tell you, they thought that I would never stop. They thought, my goodness, I've never seen anybody eat so much. So, yeah, I could eat. I could eat a lot. The Bible says there's two places, talks about being a glutton or gluttonous. And they were referring to how the people looked at Jesus Christ, because he would come in. John the Baptist, they knew. He didn't eat hardly anything. He didn't eat bread. He didn't drink wine. And he just, you know, ate grasshoppers and honey. And they said that he was a sinner. Jesus Christ came in, and he would eat dinner with the publicans and the sinners and all of that. And they said he was gluttonous, and he was a wine bibber, a wine bibber. And they said he was evil. So there's two places, one in Matthew, one in Luke. Well, gluttonous means to eat in excess. And I had that problem of eating in excess. I went to the doctor several years ago for my blood pressure. I thought I was having a heart attack. And they checked me out, said, yep, blood pressure's way too high, put me on blood pressure medicine, made me come back for a stress test. Went back to the hospital, and they put me on a treadmill. There was 3 doctors and 2 nurses in the room. And I had to run on this treadmill for 15 minutes, and it got steeper and steeper and steeper. By the time it was over, I just wanted to die. At that time, I weighed probably 220 pounds. and got done with it, and the doctor that was in charge of the whole thing said, well, you made it. You do have very high blood pressure, but everything else is good. You just need to stop eating so much. And he said, Mr. Sprague, you are obese. And I was like, well. So I looked at him, looked him up and down, and I looked at all the others that were in the room and looked them up and down, and and the doctor said, yes, we're all obese, Mr. Sprague. But you're the one on the treadmill. I'm like, he goes, you have got to cut back. And I had a doctor, I got a doctor after that, and she told me that I needed to lose weight. And she told me, you've got to cut back on your eating and you need to exercise. And I was like, no. I tried the exercising, I tried the walking, I did it for a while, and I just couldn't do it. But then, this spring, during conference, I remember one of the ministers preaching, and in his sermon he said that in order to be able to go out and do the missionary work that they're doing right now, you have to be physically fit. You have to be able to walk a lot and live in an uncomfortable place and be able to survive on different types of small amounts of food. He says you have to be physically fit in order to do missionary work. And that kind of hit me hard because at that time I weighed almost 227 pounds. So you can see my diet wasn't doing good. Well, then one of my nieces said that she'd gone on a diet, and she told me she'd lost 18 pounds. So I tried it, and it works. It's not a hard diet. You can eat anything you want. You just have to do it in moderation, and it works. But I had to change the way I think. I had to repent of my desires to overeat. Really, there was nothing wrong with me physically, except I was overweight, and mentally, I wanted to eat more than I should. I didn't have any kind of abnormal hormonal problem or thyroid problem that caused me to retain weight no matter what I ate. I am not diabetic. I just wanted to eat. So I had to change the way I looked at it. I had to change the way I thought about this sin, I call it. And I did. And consequently, this morning I weigh 4 pounds? So I've dropped over 20 pounds. But I've had to change the way I think, as well as the way I physically do things. I had to make a choice in my actions, in my thoughts. You have to make the same kind of choice. You have to make the same kind of determined effort day after day after day, that you want to serve God in all things that you do. And eventually the sin will go away. And it will become easier and easier every day to not sin, to not even desire to commit sin. Because God's Spirit will come back into your life, and his desires will replace the desires that Satan has put in your heart. And you'll want to serve God. You'll want to keep his commandments. And you'll start acting like it. And you'll start talking like it. And you'll start wanting to encourage other people to do the same thing. So it's the choices that we make on a daily basis, minute by minute, almost. Those are the things that we have to decide. Do we want to keep God's commandments or do we not? You have to use your mind as well as your heart and your desires. The Lord God has commanded us that we're supposed to love Him with all our might, with all our strength, with all our heart, and with all our mind. It's not just do it, but think it. Love God with all your mind. Plant in your mind a desire to serve Him in all things that you do, and to love Him in all things that you do, and then do it physically and emotionally with all your might, all your strength. I'm going to close here in my favorite book. It's the book of Joshua. He's one of my favorites because of what he did. How he, as a young man, he had a desire to serve God in all things that he did. He wanted to keep God's commandments, no matter how crazy they seemed or how opposite of what the world wanted. He wanted to keep God's commandments, and he tried to encourage everybody to do it, even when his whole nation was telling him, "We don't want to." He was trying to convince them, "Do it, come on, just serve him, it'll be okay." So it's one of the reasons why he's my favorite. In the 24th chapter of Joshua, at the 14th verse is where I'm going to start. He says, "Now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth. Put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood." No matter what type of god that is, overindulgence in food, in entertainment, in sports, in work, in school, you can overindulge in any of those things and you start to serve those things and they become your gods. Self-happiness is what our nation's leaders want us to have. It's this happiness, this false joy, where you feel good for a little bit about yourself because you're doing what you want, even if it's contrary to the commandments of God. So put it away, and put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. My wife got me a plaque, beautiful carved wooden plaque that has that on it. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And the people answered and said, "God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods." God forbid that we should commit sin. God forbid that we, as a family, should serve Satan. God forbid that we, as his church, should serve Satan. And God forbid that we, as a nation, should serve Satan. For the Lord our God, he it is that brought us up
and our fathers out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, and which did those great signs in our sight and preserved us in all the way wherein we went, and among all the people through whom we passed. And the Lord drave out from before us all the people, even the Amorites which dwelt in the land. Therefore, because of all these things and the miracles that we have seen and the testimonies that we have heard from each other, we will also serve the Lord, for he is our God. God forbid that we don't. And Joshua said unto the people, ye cannot serve the Lord, for he is an holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins if ye forsake the Lord and serve strange gods. Then he will turn and do you hurt and consume you after that he hath done you good. And he will. Even though we've taken upon us the name of Christ and chosen to be his children, if we forsake him and neglect to keep his commandments and turn and serve Satan, he will destroy us as a family, as a church, and as a nation. And the people said unto Joshua, nay, but we will serve the Lord. And Joshua said unto the people, ye are witnesses against yourselves that ye have chosen the Lord to serve him. And my family said, we are witnesses. And my church said, we are witnesses. And my country said, we are witnesses. Now therefore, put away, said he, the strange gods which are among you, and incline your heart unto the Lord God of Israel. And the people said unto Joshua, the Lord God will we serve, and his voice will we obey. And my country said, in God we trust. I know that it is difficult to resist the temptations of Satan. I know it. I understand it. I am as human as you are. There's someone else that knows it too. He understands it, and he was as human as we are. And he died for us. I know it's hard, but this is what God told Joshua. When Joshua was faced with the difficult task of taking over Moses' spot. In the 7th verse of chapter 1, God told him, Joshua, only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Thank you.